you can't buy me, amen. So, he has the same color Bible I have, and I got it mixed up, started reading his a little for a few minutes, and I knew I was in trouble reading that thing. So, but it's good to be in the Lord's house. I'm always excited about being here in this building with you folks, and I can't wait to see the new building. It's going to be, I know it's wonderful. I grew up as a Catholic, and so your preacher was trying to tell me something that he was excited, something that maybe I didn't know, but I grew up with that. He says, man, they only have one set of bathrooms. He says, did you know that they don't have them on the same floor? And I grew up Catholic, and the bathrooms are always downstairs, and I remember as a little guy, yeah, my wife's nodding her head, you're probably the same way. Same way, as a little guy having to go to the bathroom or get a drink of water or something, you had to walk two or three flights of stairs going down to the basement, and then it was creepy. I remember that. And then you'd have to walk the whole length of the church to get to that bathroom, and he's saying the same thing. I remember all that. But besides the bathroom, I know you guys are putting in new bathrooms. That's good. Put them upstairs with lots of lights, amen? So if I go in there... I know why they make the signs when they walk through those things. I've been there, amen. Been praying much on what to preach this morning. Matt's back in church, praise the Lord. He told me he had to sneak out for a cigarette break, and he did. He's back, praise the Lord. Missionaries take up smoking after a while, I guess. But I was thinking the same thing. The best thing that ever happened to Adriana, besides the Lord giving her parents, good set of parents. The best thing, I honestly, without any regrets and say this, was a Leafly family. She married into a good family, and I'm so proud of her and Matt and the family, and love your pastor, love your preacher and his family. It's just they're a wonderful family, and I hope you stick behind them, amen? You know, I was thinking about this last night, this morning, as I was getting my message ready. I don't preach a long time. I just have a whole bunch of stories. And my introduction, I got to feel comfortable. Amen. But I was thinking about this morning. I remember the day that Matt and Adriana and two of the three children left for Africa. I remember that day. We were all there, prayed together. And I remember how sad we were. And I remember waving goodbye. I grew up in a little island in the Azores there. And as a little kid, I remember my mom and people that were embarking, they were going elsewhere. I remember going to those things. And we lived, of course, on the seashore there. And I remember folks standing at that seashore just with hankies and waving up their loved ones goodbye and all that. I remember reading, I'm not sure which missionary it was, but in the olden days, as they would send off their missionaries, a lot like, a little bit different than today, yet a lot like today, but back then it was a little bit, they were a lot closer, I guess, but the churches would meet up together, and family and friends of that missionary, they'd meet up together, and they wouldn't fly away, they would go by boat and go to different countries, different places. And they would stand there and just wave those missionaries goodbye with tears of joy and singing. And sometimes they would sing gospel hymns as that boat just sailed off to the beyond the horizon where you couldn't see it no more. They'd wave their Bibles and their hankies and wave them off. And, of course, again, the tears of joy. And it's so sad. It really is. I remember waving Adriana and the grandchildren goodbye. I remember Brother Steve and I trying to buy and talk them into leaving the grandkids at least stay behind. And it is sad to see someone go. But you know, as I read that story, I remember reading that story, and as the writer was pinning it down, he's saying, but on the other side, somewhere across the world, there was families standing on those seashores waiting for that boat to come back. And when they started seeing that boat, they too would wave their hankies and their Bibles and sing as that boat approached. You see, it's sad on this side. saying goodbye to Josh. But boy, on the other side, as your preacher said, you know, he's already there. He'd never want to come back. And so it's sad to say goodbye, but on the other side, there were millions of them waiting, saying, welcome home, Josh, welcome home. And so it's wonderful. I'm a hospice chaplain in Michigan. And the last correction my wife will make today for me before I preach, she says it's not 6 years, 7 years. So we've been in Michigan for 7 years, pastoring. But I'm a hospice chaplain. I had this call, 101-year-old man, and Catholic family. And so they gave me that family, and I went to go visit him just before going off to Midwestern Baptist College to teach a class. And so it was late afternoon. And so I went to that family's home, Catholic family, and they showed me the room where this gentleman was, and he was just non-responsive for the most of the visit. And I finally woke him up, and I started to talk with him, and I shared with him the gospel. Catholic people, I just know Catholic people. And so I asked the family, you got to be careful. I asked the family if I could spend some time with their loved one. They said, oh, sure, and they closed the door. And so now I'm just the man that's sick, and I are in that room. And I shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. At 101, in that few minutes that he was awoke, he actually accepted Christ into his life. 101. And, man, I rejoiced with him. The family didn't know what was going on. You know, you just kind of walk out of the door and go like this, and they're happy, man. And so we take off, and I prayed with the family and left. And just as I hit the driveway with Midwestern Baptist College, and less than half hour from that home, I got a phone call. And they said, hey, that gentleman you just visited expired. They want you back. So I went back and told my class. Somebody else took over the class. I went back to that family. I got there, and, of course, the tears and all that, and 101. And his wife was in her 90s, early 90s. And so I got there, and everyone was in the room. And his wife asked the rest of the family, would you just leave for a moment and let the priest or whatever she called, father, stay here. And I stayed. I said, that would be wonderful to stay. And as the wife was getting ready to leave, I said, ma'am, would you like to stay here? So we let everyone else, the kids all left, the door was closed, just the wife. And I turned to that wife and I said, ma'am, and she was brokenhearted, and as you can well imagine, I said, you know what your husband just did? Your husband is in heaven. And about 45 minutes ago, I shared with him something. And I went over and told the gospel with her. And at the age of 92, 90, whatever she was, she said to me, she says, I sure would like to do that too. And she got saved too. I'm saying all that to say this. I don't know how people go through times like this without Jesus Christ. I don't know how you do it. Boy, get a hold of God this morning. Amen. This morning in Mark chapter 5, in verse 21, it's a new message. I have never preached. It's an old passage, but yet a new message. I've got two messages under these verses, but I just wrote out a new one on just some paper I found, and for this morning, that I believe that God would be in it. But in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship onto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the city. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. By the way, I can't go by this verse without making this comment, that if you ever get a hold of Jesus Christ, even this morning, you ought to try that. Just get down and bow at his feet this morning. He's worthy to be praised this morning. And there came one of him, a synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, Jesus came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Lord, again, we're thankful. We love you, God. We just ask for the next few minutes. God, please, I beg you. Lord, I've prayed much. You know my heart this morning. Lord, you know everyone's heart in here this morning. And Lord, you know mine. I pray, I just want to be a blessing. Lord, this is a rather difficult time in our lives. And Lord, and this other family just asked for prayer of another loved one that has just died just within a day or so. Lord, I pray that you would comfort our hearts. And Lord, that you'd give me exactly what needs to be said and take away what needs to be taken away this morning. And Lord, even though if I've studied and prayed over and Lord, it's not what you'd have for me to say, God, that I might just forget it, that I might not remember it, God. And Lord, that we might leave this building here this morning, oh God, please, differently than when we came in this morning. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, Lord, one, or whatever, that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, that they would not leave this building without accepting you. And then, Lord Jesus, if there's one here that'd be fallen away, Lord, that you'd bring them back into your fold. Thank you for what you've already done in our lives. And, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to talk to you just a little bit about, I am a Baptist preacher. I'm Baptist all the way through and through. I'll tell you right now, I was Catholic. I got saved. It was a Baptist preacher that led me to the Lord. It was a Baptist preacher that baptized me. I'm Baptist all the way. Baptist discipled, Baptist school. I married a Baptist wife. Amen. But I'm Baptist all the way through. And nothing will ever change that. But I'm not even sure why I said all that. But I'm glad I did anyway. But I guess you know that I'm Baptist right about now. I just believe, that's why I said it. I just happen to believe the Bible this morning. And I believe that many Baptists this morning, even though we're on our way to heaven, some of us are going to go when we've never experienced the joy of Jesus Christ. Isn't that, that's really too bad in most of our lives. We've never seen the miracles of God. We've never seen God do something in a service. Or even sadder than that, there will be many Christians, maybe even here this morning, that have read their Bibles but have never had God touch them when they read their Bibles. I mean, where the words on that page just pop out. Well, you know it's God just speaking to your heart. You know that God's trying to get a hold of you. There are many Christians like that that will be going to heaven and never experience that great feeling. By the way, I'm not Pentecostal, not even close. I'm more Catholic than I am Pentecostal. But I'm Baptist. You'll never experience that. I enjoy 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. You don't have to turn there. Many of you know these verses. The Bible says Paul wrote these words down. He said this, "My grace is sufficient for thee." We've read that. He says, "My strength is made perfect." We've all read that. But you have to read the whole verse there. And let me read it for you. He said this. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect." But we forget this. It is made perfect. His grace is made sufficient in our weaknesses. You see, many times we look for his grace and for his strength when we're strong. No. His grace in his strength is made perfect in a Christian when we're at our least. You ever think about that? You ever think about the church? You know, when the church was given birth, and we're not going to go into the theological part of that, but the church was really given birth in the fire. It's always in the worst of time. Hey, listen to me. Jesus had to die on that cross so that you and I may live. We like to talk about the gift of life and living, but prior to that, he had to die for that. Oh, I think about what has taken place in the Lethley's life, but I think about this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Hey, we have something to shout about. The man was saved. He's not on his way to heaven anymore. He's in heaven. Hey, listen, I'm as sure as he's in heaven as I am standing before you. We ought to be praising God for that part. Sure, it's sad. But boy, how much sadder would it be if we ever even thought that he wasn't saved? He says, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect to you, but only made perfect when you're weak. Most gladly, therefore I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hey, Christ's power, his grace, his strength is only made perfect in our weaknesses. Here's a story in Mark chapter 5 that we just read. I enjoyed the story, and I have a story on Jairus here, on the delaying of Jairus' miracle in his life and what Christ and how Jairus came to see Jesus, and Jesus agreed to go with him to his home and to touch his son or pray with his son or whatever. We don't know what he was going to do. Of course, we know the end of the story, and he healed him, but we didn't know that. But Jairus got a hold of Christ, and Christ said, I'll go with you. And on their way to Jairus' house, Jesus gets a little bit detained there by this lady. I want to look at this lady. I want to talk to you this morning. How many Christians we have here this morning? Say amen. I want to talk to you, the Christians this morning, on getting a hold of touching Jesus once again. Too many Christians this morning, I'm convinced, even here underneath my voice this morning, hey, we know Christ, but when was the last time you really got to touch him? When was the last time? I believe this, it is in our dark days. Oh, don't shout me when I'm preaching good here, but it's in our dark days we get a hold of Christ. Right. It's in our darkest times in our lives that prayer seems to be more evident. Isn't it right? I mean, hey, when 9-1-1 hit United States and those towers came down, the prediction was that the church house would be full because dark days came. But you know what? When was the last time as a Christian? I know your pastor. He's preached for me. I can still remember messages I've heard him preach, not very many, and likewise back and forth. But I remember just sitting right there. He was preaching a message these verses here on the man that was possessed sitting in his right mind. I was sitting right there. I think you were preaching a series on that. And I said, man, what? I mean, I could sit there forever and listen to him preaching. He said how Jesus, when you get right with God, you get clothed right. And he made mention, he said, here's a man that society could not help him. And I've got some notes down of what you're preaching. You've got a great preacher that's pastoring this church this morning. But I'm going to ask you this question. Even with that great preacher that you have this morning, you have a great preacher. Somebody ought to say amen here. You have a great pastor. Somebody ought to say amen here. You have a perfect Bible that's sitting on your lap. You ought to say amen there. But even with that great preacher and that perfect Bible, when was the last time you got a hold of Christ? When's the last time you touched his garment? When's the last time he meant something to you? I thought about this lady, and I'm just going to give you three quick points here. Number one, here's this lady. In order for you and I, and I believe this with all of my heart this morning, I want you to look at these circumstances. Here's this lady that had been sick for years, 12 years, the Bible says. Here's a lady that was sick for 12 years. We understand it to be an elderly woman. Here's a lady that's not only sick, but she's an older lady. And here she hears about Jesus Christ. And by the way, you're hearing about Jesus Christ this morning. She hears about Jesus Christ, and she heard that he's coming into town. I want to make mention of this. If you want to get a hold of God this morning, listen, once you have touched his garment, you don't want to go back. Man, I'll tell you what. There are times, Brother Leakley, this is God's, I mean, this is gospel truth. There are times in my office that I just don't want to leave. There are times I open that Bible, I'm getting ready for a sermon, I'm getting ready, just asking God to help me. This morning, these words just popped out. There are times that if I can feel the presence of God right there with me, I don't even want to leave. There are times that I have to just walk around. He's so evident. Listen, I'm more Catholic than I am Pentecostal. I'm not going there. I'm just saying it's about the power of God. When's the last time you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit? Saying, preacher, you don't understand. We're mourning. Hey, listen, we shouldn't be mourning. You know what death is to a Christian? It's celebration time. It's celebration time. He's not in hell. Somebody say amen. He's not in purgatory. We are. He is in heaven. It's time to rejoice. When was the last time you got a hold of God? When's the last time that the Lord really meant something to you? When's the last time you grabbed your Bible? You know, we've taught our children from birth, really, kiss the Word of God, kiss the Bible. We've taught our kids, never put any book on top of the Bible. We're not Pentecostal. We're not emotional. This is just fact. Hey, listen, God ought to mean something. People say, hell, we don't go by feeling. I do. You do too. When's the last time Christ meant something to you? Here's this lady, older lady. But I want you to look at the circumstances. I believe this, that it is easier for us to get a hold of God or touch God when the circumstances are just right. I want you to look, number one, she was in desperate condition. It was a desperate situation. Verse 25 says this, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. This lady was going through something. I thought about that. Here's not only an older person, but a sickly person. I thought of this, a person that probably had very little strength in her. I thought about the Leakleys, and I thought about this dear church here. I thought about Josh's going home and the sadness that's here. But you know what? With Josh going home and the sadness, and we'll miss him, and all of that that's going on, could it mean that God wants to speak to you this morning? Here's this lady in the desperate condition she was in. And I thought about this. Those disciples, you can read on in your Bible. I read and laugh sometimes. Those disciples, they were somebody. Man, some of those dudes were touched. Not by the Holy Spirit, they were just touched. Hey, read them, you laugh at them. You know, the Lord goes through. Here's one. God is going through Samaria. He gets to the well there. Here's this, Phoenician woman coming up. Those disciples had to walk right by her. Never even made a mention of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because she was a sinner. They probably walked on the other side. They didn't want nothing to do with it. They come back and they ask the Lord, what are you doing talking to her? Oh, no, she just got saved. It was the disciples, as Jesus Christ was on his way through the city of Jericho. He's going through. It wouldn't be long from there that he's going to go to the cross. And a blind man is in that city, and he's hearing everything that's going on, and Jesus and the thrones of people coming by, and he gets excited. He knows his only hope is Jesus Christ. And he starts yelling out for Jesus to help him. And it's, you know who it was? It was the piece of work those guys are. You know what his disciples did? Said, hey, shh, calm down. He doesn't have time for you right now. That's what they said. Piece of work. You know what that guy did? You know what that dude did? I love it. He said, He yelled out, the Bible said, he yelled out all the more. That's what my King James Bible said. You know, he got excited about what Christ could do. Hey, those disciples, it's those disciples that were, and there's no doubt in this passage here, it doesn't say, but there's no doubt in my mind as Jesus is walking through those many people that are surrounding him, that those disciples are trying to push people away and make room for Jesus Christ to get through. And there's no doubt in my mind that that little lady seen those disciples, and there's no doubt that maybe once or twice, you can take his, once or twice of that lady's, those disciples said, hey, get out of the way, lady. No, get out of the way. You can take it. Are you all right?
Yeah,
I don't want to hurt you.
You're good.
If you need a hug, he'll hug you. I'm not going to hug you. No. Thank you. Those disciples, no doubt that little old lady came and they pushed that lady out of the way. Hey, listen, the Lord has no room for you. Hey, it's in the most difficult time that you and I, it's those times that you and I ought to be getting a hold of Jesus Christ. When we know, when we're in our weakest spot in our lives, that's the time to get a hold of Jesus Christ. Hey, when we can go on no further, that's the time that we can get a hold of God and he can mean something to you. Oh, I like it. It's in those desperate days that you can get a hold of Jesus Christ. 12 years would initiate your blood. 12 years, she had nothing going. Not only desperate times, but it was I don't even know. I wrote it here. Somebody can read my writing here. But she was determined. It was a determined time. I thought about Brother Leithley especially, your pastor. So what a time in his life. And most folks would say, man, his plate's full. What more can happen? How much more can he take? But you know, even for the rest of this church here, you ought to determine right now. Determine right now that nothing will stop you from getting to Jesus Christ. Listen, he is our only hope. He said it and I said it. I don't know. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't know. I can't understand how you can make it through. Man, we know there's another side of this. We know that there's a heaven. We're convinced that there's a Jesus Christ. There's no shadow of a doubt we're going to heaven as Christians. And boy, we have a difficult time with this. How can you get through with it without Jesus Christ? Listen, determine today, if you're not saved, to get saved. Trust Christ as your Savior today. It'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. And I'll tell you what. Say, I'm already saved. I'm a Christian. Determine in your life today, Christian, that you're going to break through whatever it is that's stopping you to get to Christ. Hey, listen. This ought to be a time, especially this morning, I'm going to break through. Ain't nobody going to stop me from seeing Christ. Ain't nobody going to stop me from feeling the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life today. Listen, the death of Josh, all right, praise the Lord. It's sad, it's there. But you know what? I believe through all this that I can see Christ in it all. I believe that God can do something for me. How many believe God can do something this morning? And the last thing is this, in verse 26. He says, and here's this lady, and she had suffered many things, and of many physicians, and she spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I believe in this lady's life before, by the way, it was all before, all these sayings here, all before the blessings came into her life. Here's a lady, she might have been all by herself, we don't know. Here's a lady now that has been sick for 12 years. Here's a lady that's gone through many physicians, spent all that she's had. I mean, she is at her wit's end. She's got nothing, absolutely nothing going for her. She spent it all. No, there's no hope. And she heard about Jesus. You know, you might be here this morning without any hope. But when you hear about Jesus this morning, you ought to get to the place in your life where you say, God, if there's a real God in heaven, Lord, if it's true, I need you. And she breaks through that crowd. But in the midst of all of her discouragement, she finds Jesus Christ. How do you find Jesus Christ sometimes in a Christian's life this morning? Let me tell you how you can find Christ sometimes in the worst times of your life is the best time to find Jesus Christ. You want to know why I got saved? I got saved, I was at the age of almost 19 years old. And I got saved only, I'm telling you. Yeah, I don't know what you have heard, and I don't know your story, and it could be true. I don't know. I don't want to call anybody a liar. But I've heard people say, I got saved because I love Christ. I love Jesus. Not me. I didn't know Jesus. I simply got saved because I realized if I don't get saved, I'll die someday and I'll end up in hell. That's the only reason why I got saved. I didn't get saved because I loved God. I didn't know him. I didn't get saved because I loved Jesus. I didn't know him. I didn't get saved because he died on the cross for my sins. I didn't know him. I got saved because of this. Preacher sat me down and said, listen, he died for our sins. He had to go to that cross. And on that cross, he shed his blood. And that precious blood that he shed was for your sin. And if you don't accept that, someday you'll die and you'll go to hell. I used to say this. Somebody else in here might have said the same thing. I was unsaved. I used to say this. Someday I'll die and I'll go to hell. I'll meet all my friends there. We'll have a big old party. How many have ever said that? Shame on you. That's what I used to say. But hell is not going to be no party. And that day, as a teenager, I stopped being foolish. And I admitted, man, hell's not going to be any party. Hell is real. And that day I said, you know, I want to accept that. I asked Christ to come into my... I was a big dude. I was mean and bad and everything else. But that day, and you don't have to accept him this way, but that day I cried like a little baby. I was broken. Said, God, come into my... What a fool I've been. I didn't get saved because I loved him. I got saved because I knew if I died, I'd go to hell. And you know, that's how you get a hold of Christ today. If you're not saved, listen, don't look for neon signs and these great feelings. Look for the fact. The fact is this, Jesus died for our sin. Without him, our eternal life will be in hell. With him, our eternal life is in heaven. That's a fact. And then get a hold of Christ this morning. Can you picture that little old lady? As frail and sickly as I believe the Bible portrays her to be. Busting through that crowd. The time was right. The time really wasn't right. If you look at her life, she was sick and weak and how in the world could she... But the time was right that the Holy Spirit was speaking to her heart. And sometimes the only way God can get a hold of our attention is when everything else seems to be falling apart. She busted through that crowd. I mean, those deacons and those disciples were trying to keep her away. She busted through. She said, you don't understand. I've got to get to him. And this morning, our only hope is that you get to him. Let me tell you, as a preacher this morning, I can't preach without saying, I've got to get to him. I get in my office in the morning. I open my Bible and I pray and you try. And I said, Lord, I've got to get a hold of you. Man, I've got to break through. I've got to bust through. It doesn't matter what's in my way. It doesn't matter what circumstances happen. As your preacher said, under the circumstances, I think he's holding up pretty good, don't you? But under the circumstances, you know why? Because he's got to get a hold of Christ. Hey, listen, we're weak and we can't do anything on our own. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, he strengthens us. But how does he strengthen us? Because we're Christians? No. We've got to break through. We've got to bust through that crowd. I'll bring this. The only way she busted through that crowd is she had to leave everybody else behind. Sometimes you don't see Jesus because of your friends, your family, things in our life that prevent us from getting through to touch the hem of his garment. Listen, why don't you make up your mind this morning? I've made up my mind. There's no one friend on this earth that'll stop me from busting through to see Jesus. I've got to. I can't go through life without him. Anybody ever been ill before? Raise your hand. Anybody ever been ill? Boy, isn't it wonderful being ill with Jesus? I suffered a heart attack 5-6 years ago. I would lay in my bed at night, sometimes or on the couch. I'm not ashamed to tell you. I'd open the Bible, read the Bible a little bit, and there were days, nights, I slept with his word on top of my chest. You say, were you afraid? Uh-huh. But in the middle of the night, it was comforting to know that the Bible was on top of my chest. You know what? Sometimes we just got to break through that crowd and get to see Jesus. But you can sit there all you want in that pew, stand up and sing those songs of invitation, and never walk in the house. And you can go ahead and fool yourself. Say, well, I can get a hold of Jesus at home. If you can't get a hold of him here and bust through here, you're not doing it at home. Oh, that went a little bit up the wrong way on you. If you can't get a hold of him here, you're not going to do it at home. You know what keeps us from sometimes walking an aisle, Brother Matt? The pride that we have. But you know what? Leaving that pride behind and saying, I'm busting through this morning. I'm going to get a hold of Christ. I don't care who's watching me. I don't care who's looking at me. I don't care who's in this building this morning. It's me and the Lord Jesus Christ. God spoke to my heart. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I'm busting through. I'm going to get the hem of his garment. Let's stand together real quietly. You know what I find? That the devil seems to come and snatch away the word of God from our lives. But if God's speaking your heart this morning, how many would be honest with God and with yourself this morning? You know, preacher, somewhere in that message, God spoke to my heart. I'm not ashamed of it. Here's my hand. Would you just raise a hand along with mine? Good. Hands are up all over. I'm not ashamed. Hey, God spoke to my heart. Who cares what somebody else thinks? Let me ask you this. How many need to, maybe for the second time, third time, fourth time, touch the hem of his garment one more time this morning? How many would say, preacher, that sure would be good. I've seen your hand and yours. Yes, and yours and yours. I see them. But you know what? Your hands up is great. But why don't you do something this morning? Why don't you break through the crowd and come down to an old rugged altar this morning with others that already come down and say, God, can I touch you this morning? Would you speak to my heart this morning right now as the pianist plays? Would you come down right now? Some have already come. You need to come. Don't let the devil keep you in your place. Don't just stand there. God, speak in your heart. Say, oh, I can take care of business right here. Yes, you can. How much more? How much easier when you're breaking through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment? Would you come? That's right. Come. Just excuse yourself. Don't let that stinking devil, don't let him stop you. Don't let him keep you in that place. You come down and say, God, I just need something this morning. I don't care if my wife goes. I don't care if my husband goes. I don't care if my kids. I'm coming down. That's right. You come. Just excuse yourself and come down. Maybe you've never accepted Christ. Would you take him as your Savior this morning? Oh, what a wonderful day to get saved this morning. Say, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. Preacher, I'd like to ask him to come into my heart. I'd like to get saved this morning. Would that be you this morning? Anyone like that? Say, preacher, I don't know Jesus as Savior this morning. I sure would like to. Many have come down. The altars are just about full. Won't you come this morning? Won't you excuse yourself and come on down? Why don't you grab someone by the arm and say, would you pray with me? Let's get a hold of Jesus this morning. Oh, we need him more than ever before.
God spoke into your heart. You come this morning. When's the last time you touched the hem of his garment? Felt that closeness with God? It's not just church. It's not religion. It's not a game. It's something very real. Knowing God personally. Knowing that his death on the cross was not just for all of mankind, but knowing it was for you personally. You have that knowledge this morning. Josh would get discouraged. I wouldn't say depressed. If any kid had a reason to be depressed, it would have been him. He just, you know, from one thing to another. He had the problems with the tumors. He had the psoriasis that you probably don't know, but just covered his body from his neck all the way down to his ankles. He was on medication. We had to apply it to his whole torso 2 times a day. And it would drive him crazy. It would scratch. It would itch. They gave him medicines that would make him incontinent. And he had all kinds of... If anybody had a reason to be depressed... You know, when I thought things were bad for me, I'd always look at Josh. And I would realize he was my hero. That's why I've told him that. When he got through that first surgery at 11 years old, I said, Josh, you're my hero. I'd never seen anybody be in a coma, be completely out of it, and have to learn to walk all over again, talk all over again, swallow all over again, and yet do that. But he would get discouraged. He wanted to be like everybody else. He knew he was a step behind. And he would get discouraged that his other brothers and sisters had graduated. He wanted to graduate before Sarah more than anything in the world. He's afraid she was going to graduate first. And he wanted to be like the other kids, and he wanted to be getting out on his own and getting married and having kids and all that, and yet something was holding him back. So it wasn't depression, but it was discouragement. But there were times when he would get that point where he'd say, I just want to go be with God. He is. All those problems are gone. The discouragement is gone. He's better off. He knew he's saved. Robert at his brother at the funeral home said he came up a week ago Sunday and saw him, that one saint, and talked to Josh. You know, you always want to make sure. And he talked to Josh personally, and he said, there is no doubt in the mind. If you can ever be sure somebody else is saved, you know, I've always told you, there's one person I know that's saved, that's me. Because I know my heart. I don't know yours. You tell me you're saved. It's not that I doubt it, but I know I'm saved. If there's anybody in the world I knew was saved, that it isn't me. It was Josh. He just had it in him. He had no inhibitions. You know how he was. He'd speak his mind no matter what. And it even came to knowing the Lord. He was not ashamed to say he was a Christian, to ask people if they knew the Lord. And he's up there now. And if he could tell us anything, it'd be just give yourself to the Lord. Give yourself completely to him. It's worth it. I didn't mention earlier, but the address, Brother Roy reminded me, the address of the new church in Baysville, in case you don't know where it is 207 South 5th Street, right across the street from the Starfire Station in Baysville. So if you haven't been there and are coming tomorrow, it's 207 South 5th Street. One other thing, I appreciate I just love the Lord so much. And I'm thankful that even when we are at a point where it's difficult, He can use us to be a help to somebody else. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Last night we were at home. Brother Mark Rogers, most of you know Brother Mark Rogers, called us. And I've gotten so many phone calls the last few days from all across the country because of Josh's passing. And when I saw his name on it, I just thought, oh boy, you know, somebody else is calling, got to go through this phone call again. And those are the hard times, you know, talking to somebody for the first time. And I saw his, and he got on there and he was kind of bubbly and joking. And I thought, he doesn't know. He says, brother, he says, he was embarrassed. He said, I am at Walmart in Cambridge and we are broke down. He said, I'm supposed to be preaching tomorrow morning at a church in Pennsylvania, and my truck is broke down. He said, I didn't know if maybe you had a church van, something we could use, and we don't really have a church van, but I know a pastor that's got a van. And I said, brother, where are you at? And he was at Walmart. He said, I think I can limp it down to the Spring Valley campground. So he got it down there, and we met him there, and I gave him my van and said, you go on to Pennsylvania. He didn't ask whose it was or anything. I said, here, take this, go over there. And I just appreciate that at a time like this, God can use me to be a help to somebody else. You know, this is the kind of times where you can kind of get self-centered. You know, you can kind of feel sorry for yourself. And the Lord just kind of, every time you turn around, He does something that brings honor and glory.